Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the program. So glad to have you with us. We're live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Obviously, as you know, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. We do this each weekday at 11 a.m. and we're available as a podcast. If you miss us or you want to go back and hear an interview, lots of stuff available for you. We're on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. Interesting show today. Lots to get to today. Thank you so much for being with us. Let's jump right into it today. The show lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one are Zaxby's headlines, news of the day for IU and Southern Indiana sports. Got a lot of things to cover. Update on Jordan Geronimo, the freshman at Indiana. Some positive news to pass along on Geronimo. Also, a number of high school sports notes from yesterday. It was a very odd day as far as high school sports news goes, as far as is football and fall sports, are they going to be played? Are they not going to be played? We'll tell you all about the topsy-turvy day. That was Wednesday for high school sports. Also, a couple other news and notes of the day surrounding the coronavirus and how it's affecting college football. We'll take a look at that and more all coming up in our headlines brought to you by Zaxby's here in just a moment. Later in the show, it's Thursday, so we always have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us to talk IU basketball. Plenty to talk about as we're coming off just a couple nights ago. Archie Miller speaking to the media, really a first time he had a press conference, a Q&A type situation since the Big Ten tournament after Indiana's what ended up being their last game of the season. A win against Nebraska back in early March. And so lots of storylines, lots of things that Archie spoke about the upcoming season. And obviously the team, I don't want to say back to normal, but they are doing on-the-court workouts. It sounds like from what Coach Miller said the other night, no five-on-five, no normal basketball, but they are doing basketball stuff. And the coaches, the actual basketball coaches, can now be involved with their workouts as well. It was just strength and conditioning personnel. So that's positive, and we'll see if things continue. Again, some Big Ten programs, including IU football, have temporarily paused their voluntary workouts, but so far Indiana basketball has been in good shape. So we'll talk with Alex about that and more when he's with us later. And then Thursday, today, we'll also talk to Jim Shannon, the coach at New Albany. We'll get a summer update on the Bulldogs today. We've had a handful of coaches with us, both football and basketball so far, for a off-season update here in the summer, and we'll continue that today with Jim Shannon, the longtime coach of New Albany basketball, coming up in our show today. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure you check out the new dinner package deals that are now being offered by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check out the store. There you can dine in, pick up available, and, of course, curbside service. It remains available if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And how about this? Jordan Geronimo tweeted yesterday, quote, freshman 15, exclamation point, exclamation point. Shout out Cliff Marshall for getting me right. Of course, Cliff Marshall is officially the Director of Athletic Performance for Indiana Men's Basketball, former NFL fitness guy as well. And it's it's a before and after picture of Jordan Geronimo, and he's joking about the freshman 15 because he's definitely picked up 15 pounds or near it, but it's not bad weight. It's good weight. The before picture shows an in-shape but pretty skinny Jordan Geronimo standing there. The new picture shows a much more defined, and I guess the word is cut up, Jordan Geronimo that looks much better as a freshman ready for Big Ten play than the beginning picture. So again, no surprise, if you follow Cliff Marshall on Twitter, we talk about it some in the offseason on this program, he's really our link to IU basketball in the offseason because he's with them so much. I know it's been different this year because of the virus, but he's with the players so much, putting in the grueling work that they have to go through to get their bodies ready for Big Ten Conference play. And, you know, it's interesting to see these pictures, and there are gains by a lot of guys in the offseason at Indiana. That's no surprise. But what I always particularly look for are the freshman pictures, because if they tweet one out, when they arrive, no matter how good a shape that you think you're in or they think that they're in, he takes them to another level. So a much different looking and more Big Ten ready freshman, you could say, body for Jordan Geronimo. He obviously proud of that progress. He tweeted out that photo yesterday. Also, yesterday, Wednesday, was kind of a wild day for high school sports. We talk about this stuff each day on the program. You can't help but for it to come up. What's going to happen? Are we going to have a season in football and fall sports? Is it going to be delayed? Could it be pushed to the spring like a handful of other states have done? Right after we signed off the air at noon yesterday, the IHSA sent out a tweet. And I had heard that there were some meetings and things going on behind the scenes yesterday morning, but the IHSA sent out a very positive tweet at 12:11 p.m. It said, quote, "High school fall sports are on track to proceed as planned. Girls golf practice begins this Friday, July 31st, with other sports starting Monday, August 3rd. Have fun and good luck to all participants." That's a pretty positive note. A lot of people took that as, hey, no matter what, football, fall sports are happening in Indiana. However, I think we know better if you followed closely that the IHSA and the State Department of Education have said they're always going to defer to local health departments and to the state health department to help with decisions on what to do as far as sports, as far as any public activities. And so we know that as some schools are not going back to school, that they're going to do e-learning. North Central in Indianapolis, a great example, they're going to be in e-learning for a while, it looks like. And right now they have temporarily put sports on hold. There likely will be some schools, if fall sports are played, that don't play at least right away. To make this IHSA tweet that got everybody so positive and having a great Wednesday yesterday, especially parents of the athletes and, of course, the athletes themselves, then a story in the Indianapolis Star, our friend Kyle Neddenrip, who is always with me on Fridays on this show, comes out with a story with the headline that Marion County, that's where Indianapolis is located, scraps October, or initially, Initially, they came out with a story by Kyle Neddenrip that Marion County's health department had banned high school sports, any type of contact sport, football included, through October 1st at the latest. So we go from a real positive message from the IHSA to a terribly negative message for Indianapolis area schools from the Marion County Health Department that basically is going to cause them major problems with their season, a much delayed start compared to other schools that get going right away, and also wreak havoc on a lot of area schools, even outside of Marion County, their high school football schedules where they play so many Indianapolis and Marion County teams. It wasn't 2 hours after that that it comes back, the Indianapolis Star, our friend Kyle Neddenrip, and says that Marion County has scrapped their October 1 return to high school contact sports for now, and they are going to monitor things, the number of viruses and other things associated with the coronavirus for the next 2 to 3 weeks, and that schools can continue to have their practices, which officially start for football and other sports on Monday. So a wild day, a really positive tweet, a positive sounding tweet at least from the IHSA, a damning announcement from the Marion County Health Department that would greatly affect Indianapolis and so many schools in our state. And that's a long delay, October 1. And then a reversal on that decision. That all took place in about a 4 or 5 hour period yesterday. So you had to be on your feet to keep up with it yesterday. But a crazy day. While all this was going on in Indiana on Wednesday, Illinois had planned to make some announcements and decisions on high school sports for the fall. And before the Illinois High School, I think it's the Activities Association, could make an announcement, the governor in Illinois kind of jumped to it and said, no, we're not playing high school sports, at least football, you know, right away. And then the IHSA in Illinois followed that up later in the day. I think it sent all their plans completely out of whack, obviously, at that point. Whatever they were going to announce, they had to revisit things. And later in the afternoon yesterday, Illinois announced that they are officially moving football to the spring. I think seven states, seven governing bodies have now delayed football to the spring of 2021. But as of now, in Indiana, for the most part, everything is still on, and schools will have the decision based on input from their health departments and other local folks like that, whether the season is played on time, normal, or whether you see some schools maybe pause for a few weeks if the virus cases go up in their school or in their community. I do not think it will be a one-size-fits-all approach. I think we should know at this point that things are going to vary from community to community in our state, especially area to area in our state. Marion County, Indianapolis right now, that's the hot spot. Lake County up in far northwestern Indiana, that's a hot spot. Their high school sports would not surprise me if they do have ultimately a delay after a couple more weeks of evaluation, but we'll have to wait and see. Very interesting times, especially for high school sports ahead. ACC football, what they did yesterday, they're going to start games the week of September 7th. 11 games per team played over at least 13 weeks, 10 conference games, 5 home, 5 away, 1 non-conference game. It has to be a home game or it has to be played somewhere in their state, and they're going to play just one division this year in ACC football. So, again, interesting to see what some of these Power 5 conferences are doing, and we still kind of await a final announcement, a final plan, an updated schedule from the Big Ten Conference as far as football goes as well. One other announcement that came yesterday, the NAIA has announced it's going to postpone fall sports championships to the spring, allowing schools to delay competition if they want to. Now, that doesn't mean that an IU Southeast in New Albany is an NAIA school. There are 17 NAIA schools in the state of Indiana. A lot of them, especially in men's basketball, are very competitive. But from a fall sports perspective, the championships will be delayed. That does not necessarily mean that each school has to cancel their season or delay their season to the spring as well. But it obviously would sync up with the championship if they do play it in the spring, which I think is the proposed plan. But right now, the NAIA is saying no fall championships, and so it'll be interesting from a local level to see what IU Southeast and New Albany does. The other IU schools, IU East and Richmond, IU Kokomo, IU Northwest, IU South Bend as well, and many others in the state that play at the NAIA level do they go ahead with fall sports? Do they delay to the spring and try to match up with what the national office is working to do? Again, another very interesting situation. It's going to come down to a local kind of guidance and local view on that. Also, tomorrow we'll be back at the baseball field. Hard to believe the last time we had live and local play-by-play on this station was in early March. In fact, Zach McCrite was up at Seymour for the sectional championship game when the Highlanders won it for the first time in many, many years. And I was at Cordon following Silver Creek to their second, or I should say maybe on their way to their perhaps second state championship after the way they played this season and in the tournament. And after those sectional championship games, things slowly started to unravel. We would have no regional coverage from Seymour and Washington that next Saturday. In fact, high school basketball would go on to see the remainder of the state tournament canceled. But we're back with local play-by-play. Every summer, we very much enjoy doing Little League baseball and softball. Normally, we pick up with the District 5. That's the local All-Stars. across the area from New Albany, Jeff GRC, Silver Creek, Charlestown, Clarksville, and others that play with the best from their respective leagues. But really, there's not going to be as much All-Stars, and it's been delayed. There are going to be a few things happen a couple weeks from now. But we're out at New Albany tomorrow night, New Albany Little League, that is, for their league championship games. We're going to have the major division and the minor division, two games, a twin bill for you, and we're just glad to be at the ballpark tomorrow night. We'll be social distancing. We'll be watching some future, I'm sure, high school stars in the area play, and Little League Baseball is just fun stuff. So if you are looking for some Friday entertainment, tune us in. Tom Wendt and I will be out at New Albany, 5:30, with pregame coverage, and we really enjoy doing these Little League games and creating, we hope, a memory for some of these Little Leaguers playing, and this time it's for a league championship at New Albany Little League, which is one of the few leagues that did have a regular season this year. A lot of the local leagues canceled because of the coronavirus. That's a look at the headlines for this Thursday edition of our program, brought to you by Zaxby's, with locations in Jeff and New Albany. Drive-thrus open. They're pretty quick at those drive-thrus. Dining rooms open to serve you as well. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk Archie Miller, some of his comments from earlier this week, and a lot more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, always with me as we talk IU basketball and more in this segment. And Alex, it's great this week. We've actually had a little bit of basketball fresh stuff to talk about because Archie Miller made a rare off-season appearance. It was not a normal in-person deal, but it was on Zoom, but a press conference with a number of members of the media where he answered some questions. And so good to know that we're thinking about the upcoming season and talking about the upcoming season, and it doesn't all revolve around, is the season going to be canceled and what's going on with the coronavirus?
Yeah, it was good to hear from not only Archie, but five different returning players. It's my understanding that we're going to continue to hopefully get some opportunities here over the next weeks and months to talk to people. It was almost an hour-long session, so a lot to, obviously came out of it. Had, I think, 25 to 30 minutes with Archie and then the rest of the time with players. So it's great for us in that we're going to be able to have content now for a couple weeks just based on some of the things that were said. We're brainstorming different ideas and have some stories planned for the next couple weeks. So all in all, it was a good thing. It was a little different being on Zoom for a press conference, but I thought overall it went well. And if in case you didn't get a chance to listen or watch it, we have the entire thing posted on InsideTheHall.com if you want to go there, also on our YouTube channel. So it's good. It's a good listen for anybody who's craving IU basketball content when there hasn't really been it all that much to discuss for the last 4 months. This is a good update and kind of gave an inside look at what's been going on with the program, and Archie expressed some optimism about the upcoming season, and I thought that was one of the more notable things to come out of it.
Alex, we played some of the highlights back on yesterday's program and broke down some of what Archie said with Dustin Dopierak when he joined the show, but I'm curious, your key takeaway or two. Was it about a specific player? Was it something he said about the program? Was it maybe his optimism that there is going to be some sort of season in college hoops this year? What are a couple things that really caught your attention?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing I would say, that kind of stood out was just his optimism about there actually being a season. I don't think he really got too specific about what he expects it to look like, because I think it's a really fluid situation. But It kind of jives with, you know, what we've talked about in the past, Matt, just from talking to people who know or are familiar with the NCAA's position on having a tournament next year, and they're going to basically do everything in their power to make that happen. And so to hear a coach in Indiana, you know, one of the more notable programs in the country, say that he thinks they're going to have a great season next year, to me that kind of reinforces the fact that there's a lot of enthusiasm to try to have a season of some sort. Obviously, a lot can change between now and November, December, January, whenever things do get started. But, you know, I think it was a good just to hear that positivity. I thought there was some interesting stuff in terms of kind of the phases of returning to campus, in terms of how players first started out worked in the workouts, and now they've kind of ramped it up and they're doing a little bit more. But, you know, at first it was just the guys in the gym in terms of shooting one-on-one with the manager with masks on, and now they've kind of branched out and are doing some more things. Archie had a lot of interesting things to say about recruiting. That's something we've talked a lot about, Matt, over the last couple months. And when we talk to recruits, a lot of them mention these virtual visits that they're doing with Indiana, and Archie had some really interesting stuff just kind of talking about how things have shifted in that regard and how he really expects no recruiting period for the remainder of the year. And he said specifically that he wouldn't be shocked if the dead period extends through the end of the year. So how is that going to affect recruiting moving forward? I think my mind immediately shifted to a guy like Trey Coffin, who, you know, Indiana and Purdue have really recruited hard for a long time. If he's not going to be able to make any visits through the end of the year, does that mean his recruitment's going to shift all the way to the spring, or is he going to go ahead and make a decision based on the schools he's most comfortable with now? I think that's interesting. He had a lot to say about Christian Lander. That was something we're going to be writing about here over the next couple of weeks, but it's clear that Christian Lander's made a really strong impression so far. Other players talked about him in addition to Archie. Yeah, but those are some of the high level kind of things. I mean, there's a lot of different things that he discussed. Like I said, I would encourage everybody to listen to it because there was just a lot of good, I think, valuable information to have out of it. But those kind of are some of the things that stuck out to me.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, my guest. Jordan Geronimo is somebody that we spoke about earlier in the program. He tweeted out a photo yesterday. I guess you could call it a before and after photo of what he looks like now after really a short period of time on campus, working primarily with Cliff Marshall on strength and conditioning. Amazing the gains that we see not only Jordan with right now, but in the past, especially some of these freshmen that come in that are lean but don't have the definition or the strength or the size. Big changes in the body of Jordan Geronimo, which is encouraging when we already know how athletic he is and maybe what his ceiling down the road as he becomes more of a skilled basketball player could be. It's clear that his body is headed in a good direction as well.
Yeah, and Archie mentioned him when he was talking about the kind of hybrid approach that this team could take where they are going to be able to play a variety of different ways. I mean, he mentioned him in the same sentence as Jerome Hunter as a guy that can, you know, play the three or the four. I thought that was interesting. But, yeah, I mean, the pictures speak for themselves. His legs in a lot of ways looked like OG Anunoby, just in terms of just impressive, like in terms of what he's been able to do from a strength and conditioning standpoint. It's pretty remarkable, you know, what Cliff Marshall's been able to accomplish with many of these guys, but not particularly surprising given his track record of working with NFL players. I mean, he's been training professional athletes for a long time, so you would expect that he's going to be able to get similar results here at Indiana. But yeah, that was, you know, a pretty big change to see in a short period of time. I think just a little bit over a month that Jordan Geronimo was able to accomplish some of those things, and so I think there's got to be a lot of optimism about him moving forward. There's you know, a little bit of mystery, I think, surrounding him because we didn't get a chance to see him play in person. Nobody that really covers the team, I don't think, did this past season. And, you know, you have that familiarity with the guys that are from Indiana. Like when Romeo was coming in, we knew what to expect because we'd seen him play. We'd seen him play against good competition. Same thing with Trace Jackson Davis, Christian Lander, all these in-state guys because we're familiar with them. But Jordan Geronimo, he's got some impressive highlights out there. I think he's played against pretty good competition. But until you actually see it with your own eyes, I think there's a little bit of skepticism. But I think he's going to be a guy who in a year or two, Matt, that we're talking about and say he was underrated coming out of high school. I think he's going to outperform what the expectations were on him nationally. And I think there's a lot of room for him to grow, and I think he can be a pretty special player in time.
Yeah, you said something that I was exactly thinking. There is something mysterious about out-of-state players because in Indiana, it's so well covered in our state and everything is so accessible that you really get to know these players, not only their games, but who they are. Even if you never attend a live game in person, there are so many games that are broadcast and highlight films and stories on these players to get to know who they are. But there's something else about Geronimo. It's not just that he's from up east. It's not just that he played the prep school circuit. It's not just the end of season crazy dunks highlight video that we saw. But there's something about just the little glimpses I've seen, whether it be the highlights or whether it be, I think, maybe one or two games I saw online where you could actually watch his team play. There's something about him and his ability that just strikes me as a guy that's best basketball is ahead of him. Now, I don't know if that means as a freshman he's going to contribute. I don't know if that means things will change for him as a sophomore or even an upperclassman. But there are just some things about him that are mysterious and that are, I think, exciting if you're an Indiana fan to watch how this guy improves. And seeing his body get better and improve so quick, I think, is a good sign playing right into what I said.
Yeah, he is a guy that I talked to Corey Evans of Rivals, who I respect a ton. I think he does a lot of great work covering recruiting. I had him on my podcast, I think it was about a month ago, and we're talking about Jordan Geronimo, and I mentioned some names, and I mentioned OG Anunoby, and he thought actually that was a pretty good comparison in terms of being a little bit under the radar, OG a little bit more under the radar, but you know, he sees kind of some similarities in their games and the potential for growth with both of them, their skill sets, their length, their ability to defend. So not, he wasn't saying that, you know, he's going to be the next OG Anunoby, but he said that he can see some similarities. And I think that's a pretty good guy to be compared to considering the success he had at IU and the fact that he was able to move into the NBA and have such an impact right away after really not, you know, in college, he played a limited role as a freshman. He was hurt as a sophomore, and then he went pro. For him to do what he's doing now in the league has been pretty impressive. But, yeah, I think with Geronimo, there's a ton of upside. You know, there's a lot of guys, though, that come in with a ton of upside and don't realize the potential. But I just think a confidence from people I've talked to, people that have seen him, people that have been around him, that he's going to really pan out and be a good player. So I think he's definitely somebody to keep an eye on. There's obviously a ton of excitement, and rightfully so, about Christian Lander, but I think in many ways Jordan Geronimo right now is kind of the forgotten man of the freshman class.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall. Don't forget the Archie press conference. Alex mentioned you can find it at his website, insidethehall.com. Lots of stories, not only about that, but just off-season storylines for this IU program that are very good to take a look at if you're wondering about the upcoming season. All right, we've got to talk some about this. Trey Kaufman, he gets a big scholarship offer added to his list earlier this week from North Carolina. Carolina had recruited Kaufman. They had sent an assistant coach to a game this past high school season, if I remember correctly. And with no spring evaluation period and then no summer evaluation periods in July, you wondered what would his recruitment look like. Would it grow to more of a national level? Yes, Virginia got involved and Virginia offered, but would Carolina actually offer? What about a Duke? What about Kentucky? Well, we now know that North Carolina is officially in the mix for Trey Kaufman. I'm curious how you think this changes his recruitment. We haven't seen any comments from Trey on the offer or how it affects recruiting, and probably won't, knowing how he is and how subdued he pretty much is about his recruiting. But what are your thoughts about how this could change Indiana's chances, Purdue's chances, and maybe his recruitment as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because, you know, I just don't think there's going to be any opportunities for him to take any visits anytime soon. So any relationships that he's building at this point are going to have to all be virtually built. I don't know where he's at from his, you know, wanting to make a decision and get it over with versus playing the long game and seeing what can happen in terms of the spring. But, you know, if he's going to make a decision anytime soon, you know, I think it would be hard to see him going to a place that he's not really been. To my knowledge, he's never visited North Carolina. Matt, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that he has. Same with most of the ACC schools that have been involved with him. Those are obviously a little bit further from home. So it's obviously a big offer in terms of the prestige of it. And, you know, it's a big deal when North Carolina offers anybody. And it's one of the, top five, six programs all time in college basketball. They've successfully recruited from all over the country. But, you know, I don't know that it's going to be enough to kind of overcome the relationships that Indiana or Purdue have built long-term, unless he's able to kind of see something more than what he's already seen. I just, you know, you see kids now that have committed without really taking much visits. You see that more, I guess, with grad transfers at this point because of the inability to get on campus and they have to make decisions. But, you know, I think if he's making a decision in the near term, I think it favors the schools that he's more familiar with and has actually been on campus. And I don't know that this really changes a whole lot in terms of the relationships that Indiana, Purdue, other schools that are closer have built. But like you said, he keeps things close to the vest, you know, doesn't really talk about his recruitment all that much publicly. So in many ways, it feels a little bit like the Romeo situation where we may not really have a strong feeling one way or the other leading up to the time that he makes a decision.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, before we let you go, any thoughts on recruiting outside of Trey Kaufman right now? This is a question that I get a lot. Is there a player that Indiana is in on that could be close to a decision? The pandemic and the lack of recruiting visits and coaches to go see players, it seems in many cases, has really kind of stymied a lot of recruiting situations, that things have slowed down. Indiana has missed on a couple guys, actually both to Villanova, that have recently made decisions. But do you get the feeling that there's anyone out there that is inching closer to a decision? Could we see a commitment at any point soon? And if you had to guess, who maybe would that be?
Yeah, it's tough to say. You know, the other thing that's kind of weird right now with IU recruiting in general is that some people are looking at it as, well, they're behind in 2021 because they've only got one commitment. But the reality is they recruited Christian Lander as a 2021 kid, and he moved up a year. So, you know, if they were sitting here at this point with Lander and Duncombe committed, you'd be thinking, well, maybe they get one or two more guys in the fall or wait until the spring and make this a three- or four-man class. Now that Lander's moved up, people are looking at it and say, well, they've only got one commitment. Are they behind? I don't think they are. I think they're firmly in the mix with guys like Kaufman, obviously Mason Miller. There's some other names on our recruiting board that they're obviously doing a lot of work with. The board is maybe not as big as we're accustomed to seeing, but you know, I think they're going to probably add another guy or two before this is all said and done in the fall. But a lot of it is going to depend on how this situation goes with visits and which guys are comfortable going ahead and making decisions if they can't take visits. It obviously favors the guys that have already been on campus, like a Trey Kaufman, being realistic. But, you know, I'm not really all that worried from the 2021 perspective because they did go ahead and get Lander and get him to move up a year. I think if they can make this class, you know, three guys eventually in the end, I think that'll be a pretty strong group overall. And we'll kind of see how it develops. I mean, there could be some new names pop up along the way. It's just, you know, when you listen to Archie talk about recruiting, when I asked him that question the other day, it's, you know, he did say that you kind of have to take a little bit of a blind leap of faith on some guys in terms of offers right now. And that can be a tricky situation because you don't want to get into a situation where you're maybe sending an offer to somebody and getting commitment from a guy that you're really not 100% sold on. I think that it's a better strategy to err on the side of caution and stick with the guys who you've already built those relationships with, you're really familiar with, and go from there. So that's what I think you're going to continue, and you're going to see them continue to do and try to be conservative and get the guys who they really are confident in their abilities and really want to bring to campus.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Great chat today, Alex. Great content at InsideTheHall.com. And we'll talk with you again next Thursday.
Absolutely. Have a good one, Matt.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. He always joins us on Thursday. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and get a summer update on the Bulldogs from New Albany with longtime coach Jim Shannon. That comes your way in the next segment today. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Final segment today. Another summer update on a high school football or basketball program. And today we chalk some hoops with longtime New Albany coach Jim Shannon, who preparing for year number 23 at New Albany High School and year number 37 overall as a head coach in the state of Indiana. Coach Shannon, welcome in. I know it had to be a really strange environment to coach during this pandemic. You guys, like many of the area schools, had some workouts in this month of July, a few days a week, but completely different than what normally you would be up to in the summer, I know.
Well, there's no question about it. We really missed the kids. We had not seen them since around March 13th. And, you know, talking to them on Google Classroom or Zoom or, you know, talking to them on the phone, whatever, is just not the same as seeing them actually, you know, seeing them grow and talking to them eye to eye where you can actually see them and, you know, communicate. So it was wonderful to be able to get back in the gymnasium, albeit only for six practices and three short weeks and only 2 hours each time. But we felt like we got a lot done. The kids were in tune with what we wanted to do. We could tell that they were hungry for instruction and, you know, hungry just to be back around their teammates and their coaches and get some direction into what they needed to be working on and that kind of thing. So it was, to me, it was wonderful. We got a lot done. It made me really, really appreciate that this whole pandemic has made me really appreciate not only what I get to do at school in terms of teaching and what I get to do with the kids in terms of coaching, but just to, it's really helped me to understand the importance and significance of other people, because we've all had to cut back on how much we can see other people and how much we can be in community with one another. I know I haven't been to church in so long. It seems like it's been a year, but, you know, to be able to get back and talk with one another and see each other was wonderful for us. And again, it just gave me a better appreciation for really how blessed we all are to get to do that.
Absolutely. Jim Shannon of New Albany, my guest. I want to kind of go through some players and talk a little bit about your team for next season. And I know as we do this, there's going to be some players you're obviously locked and set in on, you know their role for next year. But because we didn't get the chance to have summer league games and normal practices and things like that, you and a lot of coaches are still trying to figure some things out, and I'm sure we'll look forward to getting back to work on that in the fall. But I want to start with Caden Stanton. I thought he had a tremendous close to the season. The second half of the year for him, very strong last year as a sophomore that's had lots of starting opportunities and lots of minutes as a youngster. And I'm curious how he looked this summer and your expectations for him moving forward. He's got lots of ability.
Yeah, there's no question about that, and the fact that he's a tremendous student-athlete. I mean, his grades are top-notch, and could be right up there in the top 10% of his class, no question. And he's getting a lot of looks from a lot of college coaches. You know, we've been in contact with a few, and I know that people are watching him in AAU, but he looks to me to be in pretty good shape, so I know he's been working out. He's playing really well, and you're right. He finished the year last year on a high note, playing really well and led us in a lot of categories. So the expectations for him are going to be high. He's still only going to be a junior, but I feel like he's going to be such a veteran in terms of how much experience he's had, because he's played, you know, a lot since he was a freshman. So I think that his leadership is going to be vital to our team's success, and I just love working with the young man for a lot of different reasons. But he's really a good person. He's very coachable. Like for him to be a little more vocal in his leadership role, and we'll work on that. But it's hard to work on that when you don't get a chance to see him very often. So hopefully we'll get back in school and be able to work on that.
Absolutely. Another player that was very interesting last year, started off the year with a bang and was solid throughout, Tucker Bivin. And I think people know he's committed to Louisville for baseball. So obviously I think people know he's a good baseball player. But I'm not sure exactly if people understand what type of prospect he is, and the fact that he has some ability, if things go right and if he continues to grow and get better, to maybe have a chance to play the game at the highest level, to be quite honest. And he's someone that basketball's never going to be his full-time sport, but he sure is talented for the amount of time that he's able to put in. And I know he's someone that will be key in there with Caden Stanton for the Bulldogs next year.
Yeah, no question about that. You know, Tucker is a phenomenal baseball player. He's an excellent basketball player, but he is a phenomenal baseball player. And so, yeah, we know that in the summertime and in the off season, that baseball is going to be his primary, his primary sport. And we certainly understand that. But I tell you what, anytime he's available to come to basketball in the off season, he always comes. He doesn't use baseball as an excuse, which he easily could do, because he plays baseball, you know, an incredible amount of time with all the different things that he's doing with it. But, it's going to be interesting to have him and Caden back in that, you know, in that guard duo again. He's played a lot like Caden has. They both just played an enormous amount of minutes. And, you know, coming back this year, we're just looking for great things out of both of them. I think they'll complement each other really well. And, again, we're hoping that they'll be more vocal since they're the primary guards.
Coach Shannon, I want to talk some about the other players on the team and kind of your general expectations. One of those guys is Jordan Thomas. He's a big guy. He's got some length and obviously some height to him. And he shows flashes of ability to be really special. He's someone that you'll really count on. He's a senior now. He's been around for a number of years in the program. He and others will need to take a step forward this year for New Albany.
Yeah, we're definitely going to need Jordan to play a lot of minutes. We don't have a lot of size. We don't have a lot of big guys. Whereas in the past, he's had to share that time with Trey Horrigan and Julian Hunter. He's now the Lone Ranger, so to speak. He's the only guy that we have with that kind of size. So, the shape that he reports in when it comes time to play will determine how many minutes he'll get, because we're going to need as many minutes as we can possibly get out of him. So the better shape he gets in, the more we'll be able to utilize him. But we'll need him to not only rebound and play inside some, but we'll need him to step out and take perhaps a bigger player away from the basket, because Jordan can shoot the basketball too. So we're really excited about what he's going to be able to do this year for us in terms of not only his offense, but his defense and blocking shots and rebounding. And I'm just excited to be able to throw him in there full time, because like I said, we're going to go to war with him, and he's going to have to play a lot of minutes for us to be successful. So there's not going to be a lot of rotation with two or three other big guys. He's about the only big guy we got.
Coach, as you look to this team for next season, we've talked about a couple of the real key players in your lineup, projected starting lineup, obviously, for next year. But other players this summer or looking back to last season that you're excited about? I know another that comes to mind for me was a freshman last year, Jackson Strehander. If there was a bright spot in the sectional game, he had a great second half in that contest and is someone that's putting a lot of time and work in basketball in the offseason. He's someone that's back. Other players as well. Take us through what the rest of the lineup could look like for your team.
We'll definitely be looking to Jackson. You know, he played quite a bit last year, and offensively, he could be a big boost for us because he can shoot the ball so well from three, and we really didn't have that last year as well as we would like to. I think that the more successful teams are the teams that are able to put that thing in the basket. Defense is great, and we pride ourselves on that. But, man, if you struggle from the offensive end and putting up points, it makes it pretty tough. And we felt like we got a lot of good shots last year, but we just didn't hit them at a real high percentage. And I think that, you know, with the confidence that he's gained, you know, over the last several months, and just the fact that he's getting older, will really help him to help us. And he's playing AAU, and he's doing quite well in that. So he is getting some playing time that way to get some more experience. But we're definitely counting on him. And Maddox Schmelz, you can never forget about Maddox because Maddox is such a phenomenal athlete, works really hard, especially on the defensive end. I mean, he's just got a motor. And in the six practices that we had, I thought he was much improved and looked to be in great shape. I could tell that he'd been lifting weights and working on his core and getting stronger, and he's shooting the ball better also. So I think that we'll get some significant play out of him also, but more on the offensive end this year than just on the defensive end. So really looking forward to those two helping us, you know, coming back from last year.
Coach, we have about a minute left, and I want to close with a subject that has nothing to do with your team for next season, but something I know that you'll be looking forward to as the NBA season restarts in Orlando. Romeo Langford with some fairly significant minutes the other night and some good opportunities in scrimmage games so far. There's the thought that he's going to get a chance to break through for this Celtics team as the season goes on, as Gordon Hayward leaves the bubble at some point for the birth of a child. Exciting times there to see Romeo get back and get some court time.
Yeah, I still love watching him play. I try to get, you know, on TV and watch him as much as I possibly can. We had the package there for a while, but I got rid of AT&T, so I don't have my NBA package. I lost it somehow. So I'm sure I'll have to shell out some more bucks and figure out a way to get him back on.
Jim Shannon, Jim Shannon of New Albany. Coach, thanks for the update. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.